turn up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello! Hello there, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm. Jason Gibbs back with us after a huge media day here in Berea yesterday. Gary Barnage, Joel Bitonio, DeMario Davis, Josh McCown, RG3, and Hugh World Order leader and head coach Hugh Jackson all addressed the media yesterday. We want to get our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day. Number one, your biggest takeaways from yesterday's media day in Berea. Your thoughts on what you heard from Hugh Jackson, from RG3. Did anything give you hope for this season? So we want to hear from you about that. Also, if you're watching the Masters, let us know what you think. You can't be watching on TV. If you're watching on the app, like my friend Matt Wilhelm was earlier, digging into his data, let us know what's going on there. We got a big show for you here today. It is, of course, Mailbag Wednesday, so you can tweet any questions using the hashtag AskCBD to either myself, Matt Wilhelm, or, of course, Jason Gibbs at BGSU Gibbs or at Browns_daily.
You know, I was watching a movie last night, and it made me think of the hello there.
Yeah?
And it wasn't the complete phrase, but yeah, it made me think of it.
Yeah.
And you know the movie?
I don't.
Adam Sandler in Waterboy.
Okay. When?
Is it Harry Winkler?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The coach.
The Fonz.
And him meet for the first time.
Oh, he goes, hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
Hello, yeah, dear.
Hello, yeah, dear. Yeah. And he's like, his hello is like your hello. His dare is not like your dare. Yeah. And it's his, you know, that little half out of the mouth, side of the mouth accent that he
Bobby
does.
Bobby Boucher.
Yes, Bobby Boucher. I DVR'd or DVR TiVo, whatever you want to call it. DVR'd the movie because I think my son would enjoy it.
Oh, it's a fine film.
It's a fine film. And again, he, you know what he liked?
That this is some high quality.
We watched the Mighty, he loved the Mighty Ducks.
Oh,
I love the Mighty
classic.
Ducks. And I did, and MD2 was on.
Okay.
So I DVR'd MD2.
I'm not much as into the sequel, but the Emilio
for sure. So my son, peak. He has, I kind of prep, because he's like, you know, when it's a sports movie, my son wants the sports. Okay, I don't need, you know, what's his name, Emilio Estevez?
Emilio Estevez, that was the peak of his powers.
I don't need Emilio Estevez, you know, negotiating a deal on why he needs to coach the Ducks. My son was like, take me to the ice, like, where's the hockey? You know, yeah. I want to see Goldberg strapped to the goal and everyone open fire.
Yeah.
And then I kind of prepped him on. I was like, dude, you know why they're the Ducks? I go, because they get, like, do you ever see the ducks or the geese fly in the air? What do they do? What shape do they make? He goes, the V. He goes, they do the flying V. So I had to like shush him 1,000 times, because every time from that point forward that he saw hockey players on ice, is the V coming now? Are they going to do the flying V? And I'm like, dude.
Wait.
Chill.
Patience.
It's coming. Yeah. And so he did the same. Again, we watched Star Wars Force Awakens the other day. And it's like,
I just got my Blu-ray. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars Rogue One trailer.
Yeah, the Star Wars. I went to Redbox simply to just go get it and have it to watch it. I want to get the Blu-ray because of what I loved and when I really truly became enamored with Star Wars. Because it's like, you love it as a kid.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to say like 1, 2, 3 were the best. You know, the remakes, the second phase. But when I learned so much is I was bored. And this is a funny story. So I was drafted by the San Diego Chargers. I was out there at about this time. It was actually like March is when we started our workouts. I had, you know, an apartment, furnished my apartment. I went out, you know, got my bonus check, you know, a couple hundred grand. I go out and buy, you know, the man cave leather couch sectional.
Oh, yeah.
I get the
black leather.
At that point, the DLP 55-inch TV, because there were no flat screens, were like $7,000.
Yeah,
I was like, bump that. But Time Warner Cable couldn't come. There were no cable companies could get me hooked up with cable in less than a week. So I was left with this beautiful TV, a beautiful new DVD player, and I was one of those guys that would go every Tuesday and see what came out on DVD or, you know, what was on sale, you know, from old DVDs that I want to, because I had like one of those big racks.
Uh-huh.
Like of the
Did
kids.
You ever join those clubs where you could like for a dollar you get like 10 DVDs?
No, I did not.
I did that once in college. It was gross.
But anyway, so the bonus discs in episode one, I start like I blow through the movie and then I just start watching the episode, you know, and I start learning the story of going back to A New Hope and Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back, and then, you know, that one is, you know, comes before all that and who's who. And it's like understanding the WWE of who fights who.
Yes.
And the rivalries or the soap opera, you know, of, you know, Days of Our Lives has been on for how many years, and it's like, and it's all somehow connected.
Sure.
Is what I found out about Star Wars, and when I was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So that Rogue One is going to take place kind of in the world of
Star
Wars.
I'm still a little lost. You brought me up to speed, and I'm still a little lost on Rogue One. And I know that just simply getting on Yahoo.com, there is both male and female outrage at another heroine being a female.
Why?
Just saying. Because of Rey from episode 7.
Yeah.
And now the...
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker looked like he's going to play a big role in it. I mean...
Oh, I understand. But it's right. Just so men were obviously being sexist pigs, and females were defending the fact that, oh, you know, men are sexist pigs, and why can't a woman be a heroine in, you know...
Multiple films. I'm fine with it. Did you see that at all? Gibbs, have you seen this trailer?
I'm ashamed to say this, but I have yet to even see the Star Wars movie.
What?
What?
I haven't seen it yet.
Dude. Well,
you did not take advantage of your free time
weekend. Get sick.
Yeah, you've been sick? What
get
are you doing
sick
with
on
your
one
sickness?
Of those gymnastic weekends and just do like, just catch up.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've seen all
WrestleMania,
the other ones. I've seen all the other
Monday
ones.
Monday Night Raw.
I just haven't seen the
episode
newest
seven.
One. Just haven't seen it.
All right. Well, you need
I'll get
to.
Around to it. Don't worry.
You need
patience,
to.
Patience, my friend.
By the way, this Saturday at 4 p.m., the debut of the SportsCenter special presented by Stouffer's, Gruden's quarterback camp, Jared Goff, kicks off the festivities, first airing on ABC, and then it re-airs many times on ESPN. So it's basically Goff. Wentz is at 4:30.
Why do you say Gaff?
Gaff. It's like the Scottish say golf.
It's Goff.
So he's at 4.
I don't know if I'm going to.
And then
I'm not going to put much credence in this whole Gruden quarterback camp thing because the –
Well,
what I just read today,
yeah,
about Connor Cook probably being the best quarterback out of this class. Gibbs, share with us what the Michigan State guy said about Connor Cook. He's a classy individual.
Did not come off well. Let's put it that way.
Wouldn't touch him with a
10-foot pole.
And that's being polite.
That is being polite. Yes, indeed. Well, speaking of the quarterback, so this Saturday at 4 o'clock, you have the Gruden quarterback camp. With Goff, 4:30,
Goff.
Wentz. Goff.
Jared Goff.
I'm saying that.
I'm saying Goff.
No, I'm saying Jared Goff.
Yeah, Goff. Jared Goff.
It is Goff.
Goff.
Listen, this is my guy, okay? I have the right to slightly change the pronunciation of his name.
I hope we draft him. I hope he comes in here and you say Goff, and he corrects you to say, my name is Jared Goff.
I'm going to say.
And he would.
I'm going to say Jared Goff.
He's going to tell you how big his hands really are and how to say his last name.
He's going to say, what do the five fingers say to the face?
Goff!
Goff! All right. We do have a big show for you today. Jim Donovan will join us at 2 o'clock, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, to recap RG3's press of the rest of media availability. Dave Woloshin, the voice of the Memphis Tigers football team and co-host of Wolo and Peter in the Morning on Sports 56 in Memphis, is going to call and talk about Paxton Lynch, recap his pro day. We may also hear from Big Play Gary Barnage. That'll either be today or tomorrow. So a lot to get to. Of course, you can say hashtag AskCBD and ask the questions. And I got to say, I thought there were a lot of highlights yesterday. RG3 produced two of my top press conference moments, maybe of certainly this year and maybe in my entire time with the Browns. Do you have any guesses as to what those top two moments are?
I don't.
Gibbs?
I have an idea.
I like you. I'm going to say the first one, and then I'd like you to play the second one.
I'm working on those right now, actually.
Can you tell me when the second one? You know which one the second one is. Can you tell me when that one's ready?
Let's see. Hold on. I'm looking for
All right. Well, the first one was no pressure, no diamonds. I thought that was a great line, a great mic drop.
But national perspective has come down a little bit harsh on that because back in 2012, supposedly, RG3 worked to trademark that saying. Okay?
Okay.
So therefore, the national media is saying, if RG3 was so into himself to trademark that to make it his, is he really that changed from who he was then to who he is now to use it again?
I don't know if it's about – to me, it's just that's something he believes. I just think that's a good
– I think it's great. I've never heard it before. I thought it was great. I'm just regurgitating what people who like to –
I'm not shooting the messenger.
Who pen and type for
Author.
A living.
Yes.
As they stretch for everything to create content, that's some of the content that was out there from that saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Do you have the other one ready yet, Gibbs?
No, hold on.
Gibbs. What in the world? Were you not there yesterday?
I was there. I cut it up. Somehow it didn't transfer over
to
our
who
shared...
is the program director at this station?
Who can people direct their complaints to?
Do you have a Twitter handle you can give out there, Gibbs?
I don't know who's in charge these days.
Hey, Gibbs, let me ask you.
At SilverSledge91.
While you're working on that with your fingers, let's utilize your voice. What did you think of what happened? What do you think of the press conferences yesterday?
I liked RG3. I mean, those little
you just
sayings
see him play,
and quips.
Right?
No. The little sayings and quips were good. Talk to my buddy last night, though, who lives in D.C.
Okay.
And I was talking. He goes, hey, how was RG3's presser? I go, he dropped a couple of one-liners that were pretty solid. He goes, oh, yeah, what'd he drop? And I did the diamond. I gave him the diamonds one, and I gave him a couple of the others here that I'm trying to effort to open up here. And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's what got him in trouble here in D.C. He was full of one-liners. He goes, and by the time, his second and third year rolled around, people started getting tired of those pretty quickly. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's a good thing, if that's a bad thing.
Interesting.
My buddy said he goes, the media really laid onto him about him, and even the fans got tired of it. And I was just like, wow, I didn't expect that.
So it's interesting. Kevin Jones listened to the press conference, our former colleague here with the Cleveland Browns, who's now out in the Bay Area, but was in D.C. And he was like, RG3 just knows how to win a press conference. And he said, we talked about it. I said, it's hard not to root for that guy. I came out of that thinking that this is a guy that I would like to see have success. I didn't think his one-liners were over the top or anything. I thought he had a couple good ones. And I just think all in all, he came across as very likable. I love the confidence that is exuded by the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And he's a guy that from talking to a lot of the players that are back here, this is my big takeaway. He knows how to relate to them as if he were a player himself.
And let me stop you there.
Stopped.
As we'll hear from more and more players, when I heard that or that sentiment, first thing that popped into my head was another coach in our division that probably has a very similar relationship, both as an authoritarian, and doesn't take any crap, holds their players to a high standard, yet humbles himself almost to the point where he's one of the guys. And who is that individual?
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Steelers win a lot of football games. Now, you have Ben Roethlisberger, 10-plus years in the league, 2 Super Bowls, another loss in a Super Bowl. You have that guy. You have guys around him in James Harrison. You had Polamalu for almost a decade. If you get the players, it makes it very easy to be relatable and kind of bring your guard down as a coach because the players govern themselves.
Correct.
But I like what I'm hearing from these players, both on this radio station and as you and I both connect with them in the building. Everyone still wants results.
Of course. That's the goal.
But for right now, I think if you look, and this is not just focusing on the guys that were here last year or the last 2 years. If you look at the personality of the head coach of the Cleveland Browns for the last 4 head coaches, Mangini, Chud, Shurmur, Patton, Hugh Jackson, with 3 months on the job, to me, without even having playing a game, I want to go play for that guy over any other of the personalities that had led the Cleveland Browns onto the football field in the past five head coaches.
So I've had at least the benefit of doing this now. I was here for Chud's first year. I was here for Patton's first year, and now Hugh Jackson. And every time it does seem to be, you know, it's the new thing. Everybody's excited. You have that honeymoon period. There is a genuine connection that Hugh Jackson has with the players. And that's what I was talking about. Not he can reach them and make them feel like he's one of the guys. But what he also can do is get in front of the room and show his authority and show that he is the man and he's the guy you need to follow. And I think that that certainly the energy we're talking about that's been infused has been very, very it's obvious talking to the guys here in this building. Gibbs, do you have that clip yet?
Yeah, I do.
Bob in Millersburg wants to know if you're spooling up a reel-to-reel for this for us.
No. For some reason, I upload stuff to our share drive from Berea, and there were wireless issues yesterday in the workroom, and some of the files did not upload, and those were two of them.
All right, here is what I thought was the crown jewel of the press conferences yesterday.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
One more time, please.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
The RG3 shout-out to Mary Kay I thought was an absolute classic.
And why? Is it?
Who knows?
I'm not asking. Yeah, I just.
I don't even care.
Does anyone know something that I don't know?
I'm guessing that was maybe he's seen the coverage of the Browns and just thought that it would be funny to give Mary Kay a shout-out.
Okay.
How did that go in the room when that happened, Gibbs?
Everybody was kind of like, okay. We'll laugh about it a little bit. They didn't laugh as much as he had a back and forth with Shudell.
Yes.
That was great.
Here's this one.
It's like, have you ever been able to not write?
Actually, that was difficult, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things.
Do you think he knew Shudell's background enough to say that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because he paused.
My man
Jeff Shudell
has had some issues.
Say that again, Gibbs.
My man Jeff Shudell did have a few issues. He had a stroke, for God's sakes.
Yeah. And was unable to write.
Yeah.
RG3. I love it. One more time.
How you doing, Mary Kay?
Yeah.
Doing good?
One more time. Last time.
I have no idea where.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
I don't know why. We were all looking at each other like, where did that come from?
Is it a little bit because she sits front center, maybe?
I don't know what it is. I just know that I heard two people were really unhappy about it. Number one, Ken Carmen tweeted out, stay away from my bay. And number two, Mo Pedman apparently refused to even eat pizza. He was so upset about what happened.
Really?
Yeah. Like he was very territorial.
Because this is Mo Pedman is a man that does an entire pizza. Not just a slice.
That's
or
an
two.
Appetizer.
Correct.
Yeah.
And he went no
just
pizza because of
the
this.
Man with one slice.
Yeah. He somebody gave him a pizza to try to cheer him up about it, and he was like, I don't even want this.
Speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil. Hey, RG3.
Hey, RG3.
Oh, I wonder if he just gave a hey Whitney. Smiling.
He just said, hey, all Nathan. Right. How you doing?
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
There he is. Little thumbs up and a peace sign on cue from RG3. RG3 literally walking by the studio as you played that. That was a great moment right there.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
Oh.
Doing good?
Absolute classic. A thoughtful man. A gentleman. A gentleman and a scholar.
I want to know how he knows her.
Maybe he's
done his homework.
Listen, I'm guessing he probably heard through from his former Heisman House roommate that there's one person that's going to be all over you and that's going to be, constantly asking questions about you. It's going to be Mary Kay.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
Yeah, just try to, start things off on a nice foot. I think it was brilliant. Really one of the highlights. One of the best press conference moments we've had. The Browns have won press conferences in April forever. Now they need to start winning football games. But I do love Hugh Jackson, and I can just – you know this better than I do, so I'll let you say, because you were a player. You saw you've seen the guys around – the other coaches, and you've seen the guys around Hugh Jackson. Do you sense a tangible difference in their
yes.
response to him?
I do.
That will be tested, though, in the season.
It will absolutely test it. I mean, you're 4 days in. 4 days into me joining Cleveland Browns Daily, was I, young, dumb, and excited, and just, chomping at the bit for the opportunity that lays ahead of me? Absolutely. And
you're darn right you were.
And
Wilhelm couldn't
wait to go fly a kite.
That, exactly. Thank you. That does not offend me, so you can keep doing
that.
Oh,
I know.
I want this
I'm
summer,
gonna find a way, though.
When there's a great kite flying day, I want to get somebody to come out and shoot you and I flying kites together and put it together, do like a 1980s Rocky style montage as like a promo for
I'll
CBD.
Do the Millennium Falcon. You can fly the next week. You can fly next week.
Yeah.
So it'd be sweet.
So sweet.
Could fly a kite at the Masters today.
It's totally sweet.
It's a little breeze.
That would be sweet.
You know, the best piece of golf advice I ever got from the kid was, when it's breezy, swing easy. Something to remember. Words to live by. One more time as we go to break.
Hold on. Here we go.
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good?
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. By the way, P. Myers Golf said that Hugh Jackson dropped a similar line to Josina Anderson, who was there as well. I think our guys were really just on point yesterday, strong in the interview room. I enjoyed, you know who I liked and we got to play coming up is DeMario Davis. I thought DeMario Davis had a strong interview. He's got good presence. I'm excited to see what he can bring to this team in the inside linebacker room alongside Christian Kirksey, who we will talk to early next week, I am told. So
yes,
lots of good stuff. Got the guys in the building. We're bringing them to you here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It is, of course, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jace Gibbs. We'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. But Gibbs, you got kind of interrupted as we got sidetracked there. But what overall your thoughts of Hugh Jackson in particular yesterday?
I love Hugh. I mean, that's...
Is he your favorite coach that you've covered so far?
Here's a man that continues to win press conferences. And not just that opening presser where you walk out and you go, he won, but the last three coaches have won the opening press conference too.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell the players, even the guys are saying, when he's yelling at you, he's got a smile on his face. You know, it's, hey, let's go. Let's get some. This is the hand we've been dealt. No one feels sorry for us that, you know, we lost free agents or whatever the case might be. You know, let's get to work. Here's what we have. This is our squad, and we're going to field a competitive team. And, you know, so far so good. You got to win football games. We all love you as long as you win.
Did you hear, by the way, did you hear what Ross Tucker said today on the Dan Patrick Show?
I did not.
Ross Tucker on the Dan Patrick Show today said something that I hope is printed out and put up all around in the locker room, etc. Just if you, I know you don't always need extra motivation, but if you do, okay, this certainly I think would fit the bill. So Ross Tucker was on Dan Patrick Show talking about the Cleveland Browns, and he said, and I quote, they are the worst team in football. There's no chance the Browns win five games next year. No chance. Now, he may be right that the Browns win total is not so wonderful this year, but that's just something. No chance to win five games. I got to believe the Browns have a chance to win five games.
I do too.
Well, and I mean, we haven't even started training camp. Like, how can you say that?
Right. And what other than having Joe Flacco makes you seem like the Ravens are going to have some big, huge bounce back year? Steve Smith coming back again? Brashad Perriman still can't run.
Mike Wallace, right?
Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
They had a pretty good free agency period.
I think that they're the third best team in this division.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. My point is, and again, I guess I'm grabbing at the low-hanging fruit in talking about the Baltimore Ravens. If we, in fact, are in the cellar, the Steelers and Bengals, after the year that they had, look to reload. I'll say the Bengals look to reload because of what free agency did to their success. Pittsburgh gets Le'Veon Bell back. They're replacing Heath Miller via, you know, free agency or draft because of his retirement. They've got Big Ben. As long as they have Big Ben, you know, and they're adding young defensive players that are in their prime, they're the cream of the crop in this division. To me, what screams out Baltimore is going to be able to compete with Cincinnati and Pittsburgh twice a year? Not much.
The loss of Hugh Jackson.
True.
That's it. That was it. Mic drop.
Mic drop. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that that's a strong statement. I mean, I can think of how bad we were last year, and we still won four games.
No, we didn't.
Three games. I can think of how bad we were in 2013, and we won four games.
Have you read the I think it was Bleacher Report is where I read it, the article that Carlos Dansby and talking about last year was like, you know, the worst year of his 12-year career and what he went through and so on and so forth. And the one thing that I took from it was because their paychecks reflected it, how much quote unquote talent we really had.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's even more so refreshing to me about Hugh Jackson and the staff that he's put together is last year's team with this coaching staff in the mix.
Absolutely.
For the division. Okay. Because they had the players, everyone was primed. Now, injuries played a factor.
Threatening 8-8.
Correct. Yes. Which
for us is the playoffs. Seriously.
And I, you know what? And that's an interesting take because something that I consistently answer when on, you know, kind of on the streets and whether it's family members, friends, people that recognize me out of the bar is I truly believe that people would love to show up to First Energy Stadium knowing that their team had a 50-50 chance to win or lose.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
That's it.
I think his quote was telling, too. You look at it, and he said, if there's too much going on, having their own agendas. Plenty of talent across the board, a lot of talent. Young talent, too, but we just couldn't put together. And this next line is the one that I think says everything. And from everybody we've talked to, things under Ray Horton will be drastically different in this regard. And I quote, if you can't and guys don't believe in the system and the program, then you'll never be successful as a team because it's an ultimate team game. It takes everybody on the field working as one common goal, and we couldn't put it all together to have everybody on the field on the same page. Guys don't believe in the system and the program, period.
And spending the little bit of time that I did with Carlos, I don't necessarily believe that Carlos is speaking at all about the offense.
I think that's strictly.
I think he's speaking strictly for the defense. And after I, you know, through relationships and through watching film and the first couple weeks, say the first quarter of the season, really got an understanding of who we were as a defense, started saying that very early.
Yeah.
You know, the
muddy.
No responsibility, mushy, muddy, you know, make the lineman right, go make a play.
Right.
No, it's get in the gap. And I think that reflects, you know, his comments reflect the muddiness and the fact that guys like Carlos Dansby, who've played in systems other places, in Arizona twice, in Miami for a period of time, played on good defenses that had roles. And I think the veterans went to bat for changing things, and they were too deep in the middle of the season to change it.
No doubt about that, and it was apparent to everybody in this building that there was some serious divisiveness going on there. So Mo Pedman texted me. He didn't tweet me. He texted me. Actually, Ken Carmen texted me, tweeted me. And he was talking about what you were talking about earlier with Connor Cook and talking about how crazy Gruden's quarterback camp is. And he says, and I quote, I really think we could sneak Keanu as Shane Falco into John Gruden's camp, and he would have him as the number one overall quarterback in the draft, which I thought was a brilliant take. So I wrote back. I said, get me on that show, and let's get my hype train going so that, you know, I have a chance to quarterback in the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game. He goes, and this is his quote, as John Gruden. I wish we had the benefit of Caliendo to do this.
I was just
going to
say that, yeah.
Because I can hear him say, this guy just loves football, man, and he has that name, Dragomir, man. Sounds like Drago and Rocky. I wonder what Mr. T's doing, man. That's what you're tweeting. I mean, like, I can just hear him say it. Ah, brilliant. Carmen, Mo Pedman, any man will do. What? All right, we're going to take a call. Tony in North Ridgeville, welcome.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I love me some Hugh Jackson. I'm glad you're talking about him.
Thank you.
You know, last year, coming into the season, you know, I go on Twitter just like you guys. I follow you guys and all that.
Thank you.
I had the Browns at 3-13, and what I said was, it's the worst coach-quarterback combination I've ever seen. and the worst set of skill players I've ever seen. On the Browns, I picked them to go 3-13. I nailed it.
Nailed it.
Now this year, I'm coming in. I'm going to tell you, they're going to win more than five games.
Take that, Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker.
That's right.
Exactly. They're going to win more than five games this year, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's the coach quarterback combination, man. That is the magic potion in winning in the NFL. And until the Browns finally address the coach, which they have now, I love you, Jeff. Now, does he have to prove? Of course. I think he's going to. I really do. And now getting RG3 and possibly the best quarterback in the draft, man, we're there. You know, the rest of it, you know, we could be average on defense. We could have an average offensive line. When you got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, you're in, man. So I think the Browns are on their way up. I really do.
I think that I hear you. I think that the coaching, 198 years of NFL coaching experience, 8 Super Bowl rings on this staff, a massive departure from last year.
Yes.
Massive.
Yes.
I mean, over 100 years more of coaching experience in the NFL.
And the one thing, you take that football and the massive experience that you just talked about, but I think even more so the professionalism that these guys have under their belt and will kind of flow over into the players. Because I thought at times, you know, especially if you don't get off to the start that you see fit for you to get off to, that woe is me, I don't have to take it so seriously approach can creep into a locker room where I don't feel A, Hugh Jackson would let that happen, and B, anyone on his staff to maintain their standing on his staff will allow that to happen to this team.
Yeah. Let's go. I'm fired up.
Okay.
Let's run through
the
double pain.
3 weeks away.
The double pain dog bone windows.
3 weeks from today, right?
3 weeks from today, 21 days. The countdown is on. Starts at Deion Sanders, 21. Tomorrow we'll go Barry Sanders, 20.
Then Bernie.
Then Bernard Kosar. Then Peyton Manning.
Dave Craig? Did he wear 17?
That's the first one that came into my mind,
Dave
too.
Craig?
That's crazy. Dave Craig. 16, Joe Montana. 15? Latrell Sprewell.
You got to go football. Stay football.
Stay football?
Yeah.
Who's 15?
Ryan Leaf.
Does my man Allen Robinson wear the number 15?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he does.
Does Johnny Unitas wear 15?
Doesn't matter if Allen Robinson does. Allen Robinson, number 15.
Did you just tell me that it doesn't? Johnny Unitas? Did Johnny Unitas wear 15?
I don't know. Adam Schwartz says, what's wrong with you guys? We're talking Marlon Moore, baby. Johnny Unitas, 19.
19, okay.
So you picked Bernard Kosar over
him.
Because
he's a Brown.
Okay, well, Allen Robinson should have been a Brown.
Allen.
Bart Starr is number 15.
Bart
as Starr, well.
15. Who's 14? We need a break. We'll get a break.
We'll take a break.
I'm going to go Marino at 13, though.
We're going to come back with this. Yes, Marino at 13. I'm going to go with Broadway Joe Namath at 12. All right, we're going to take
A-Rod.
A break. We're going to think
Aaron
about
Rodgers,
these things.
12.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, 12. Yeah, that's fine with me. We're going to think about these things. But when we come back, I've just been told in my ear, breaking, we will have Big Play Gary Barnage in studio next.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Very excited and honored, even really, to be joined inside the Dog Bowl by one and only Big Play Gary Barnage. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
We love having you on here. I mean, without disrespecting anybody else, probably the favorite guest of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Oh, yes.
You certainly logged the most minutes on CBD last year, which we appreciate.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah. No, good to have you. So let's start off with your off season. Obviously, American Football Without Barriers went to Egypt this year. Talk a little bit about that trip. What was that experience
like? Oh, it was a blast. We had 11 guys from the NFL go with us, and the experience there was eye-opening. Like, they were really eager to learn, and we had another women's camp, and they enjoyed it. And we actually we're going to have some good video coming. We actually took a drone and flew the drone over while we were doing plays and stuff. So it's got some really good interaction video. And then some of the guys, just when they saw the pyramids and riding the camels, was an amazing experience for them. Just seeing their eyes open so wide from it, it's an amazing, it's an awesome trip.
And you mentioned off-air that you'll never not do – an interview with that hat on for the exposure, you know, of what American the football is. Just talk about the growth in the last year. You know, you've taken multiple trips. It's been a player or two or three, and now you've had, you know, 14. And what your expectations of what it's going to do moving forward?
We foresee it keep growing and growing and growing. We're actually doing our first inaugural camp in Louisville this summer, where me and the two other founders, where we all went to school together. So we're doing our first one in Louisville, and it's going to be a great turnout. But it's just been growing tremendously. We've been getting coverage from CNN this year. We've had so many different people, and then we've had great contacts through the American Federation of International Football, and they've given us a lot of stuff, like who to contact in different places. And we just see it keep growing more and more, and that's what we want to do. And we don't do any of this for our profit. It's all just building the sport and spending time with these kids and giving these kids another avenue and another thing to do with their life and just enjoy time with each other and show them the values you can learn from football.
So who were the guys that were on the trip with you this year from the NFL?
We had Marshawn Lynch, Johnson Batamosi, Jordan Cameron. We had
How was Jordan?
Jordan was good. He's good. He's a good dude. Obviously, I played with Jordan, so he's an awesome dude. And it's always good. Our experience is the whole group, you really can't understand how much fun we have together because we're guys from all different teams. And this is the only time we hang out is really when we get in this group. And we all get along so well just because it all meshes together because of what we do. We all have common things. And this just brings everybody together. And that's one thing we want to keep doing. We want to keep bringing these more and more. And then in the future, we eventually want to get to where we're doing three international camps a year.
A year. Wow. What was Beast Mode like? I saw him enjoying the pyramids on social media.
He had a blast riding the camel and all this kind of stuff, which that's huge for us because that gives us more publicity because he enjoys and has so much fun with it.
Yeah, and speaking of publicity, it was the Gary Barnage photobomb of D'Angelo Williams with the terrible towel that I think almost made as much noise as Marshawn rapping on a camel.
Yeah, that was definitely not planned. They said they wanted him to take a picture with the terrible towel in front of the pyramids, and I'm like, I'm not going to stand for that. So I had to get behind him and do something because I wasn't going to allow that just to happen. Me and him have a great relationship too, so like he didn't even know I was there until he turns, and it's just awesome. And I got him again later when he's doing an interview too, so it's always fun though.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a great trip. Give everybody the website that they can go to support American football.
AFWBcamp.com.
There it is, AFWBcamp.com. What else did you do this offseason? We'll get to your most recent trip, the last trip in a second. But what goes on in the offseason for Big Play Gear?
I'm a big traveler. I love to travel and see new things. And I went to Australia and New Zealand this year. I went to Sydney. I went to Auckland in New Zealand. I went to Queenstown, which is the venture capital of the world. And if you're excited about adventurous things to do, that is definitely a place to go. It is so many things you can do, and it's just a lot of fun. And it's a beautiful place to go.
All right, so I went to New Zealand when I was in sixth grade.
That doesn't count.
With my parents. So I was not doing anything adventurous, but very cool country. Are you a Lord of the Rings fan?
I did. We actually did a helicopter ride over some of the places where they shot the Lord
How
of
sweet
the Rings,
was that?
It was awesome. It was amazing. I've never been in a helicopter, so that was my first time doing that too. And just seeing all that was amazing.
What are some of the adventures that you can do?
You can bungee jump from one of the highest bungee jumps in the world. You can do the world. I did.
Were you scared?
I've never wanted the bungee jump before, ever. And when we were there, I actually ran to somebody I went to high school with. Hadn't seen him since high school, and he saw me walking down the street. And he told
us, "There's Big Play Gear
halfway around the world."
Yes, yeah. And he said he did it, and he said it was awesome. He said you need to do it. So we were like, "All right, we'll do it." So we did it. It was awesome. And then we did the world's largest swing, which is like a 525-foot swing. That was amazing. They have a jet boat ride. They have parasailing. They have paragliding. They have hang gliding. They have a little go-kart on top of a mountain.
Why we
they
need
all kinds of things up. You can do. And it was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean,
did you do like canyoning? Do they have any?
We
like
did
the
canyoning.
Canyon?
We did that zip in Auckland. As well. We did the zip line in Queenstown. We did the canyon in Auckland, which is, if you don't know what that is, you go rappelling down waterfalls, you jump off waterfalls, and you slide down waterfalls and swim. It was awesome.
As Marlon Moore comes by to share in the festivities and the fun. So last trip, obviously, you took, you're wearing a Brock Lesnar Suplex City sweatshirt, was WrestleMania.
It was.
How many years in a row now is this for you?
This was my seventh year in a row, and all with D'Angelo Williams.
Uh-huh, which is very cool. It was it tough, though, to be there? You know, Steelers, Browns. I know you had the issue in
everybody else. Everybody else gives us a hard time. Me and him known each other since we played in Carolina together, so basically 8 years we've known each other.
Okay.
And we actually played against each other in college, too. So It's a great experience for us, and we're friends. We're normal people that have relationships outside of our job. Just because he plays for the Steelers, I play for the Browns, does not mean we can't hang out and all that stuff. But a lot of people don't understand that.
So your first WrestleMania then was WrestleMania 26, Phoenix?
Yes.
Okay, which was a good show. Yeah. Cena, Batista, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels is the only match that mattered. We almost came to blows on that.
Really?
Because he's a huge Undertaker fan. I'm an HBK fan. Somebody had to stand in the middle of us during the match.
You knew how that was going down.
We knew, but I couldn't admit to it.
Of course, certainly. All right, so this year you go WrestleMania, Dallas, Jerry World, biggest crowd ever to see a wrestling show. What did you think of this year's spectacle?
A lot of people said they really enjoyed it, and they said matches were great, but the matches they said were great, I didn't think they were. I think in person, you see a lot more miscues in matches, and it had its entertaining matches, but NXT on Friday might have been better.
I think it was a better wrestling show, and this is what I said to people about this year's WrestleMania. Obviously, Zack Ryder winning was great for me.
I loved it.
Just because that's my boy, and it was great to see him
live
his dream.
Until Miz won on Monday.
Although, then his best friend in the company, The Miz, took it from him the next day. And no spoilers for Friday SmackDown, but they wrestle again, and it was not kind. But I thought it was a show that had a lot of great moments.
Yes.
Like, you know, your guy, HBK, comes back with Stone Cold and Mick Foley. Great moment.
Loved it.
Rock and Cena. Great moment.
I'm not sold on
Rock.
Because
of the Wyatts, you didn't like because they hurt the Wyatts?
Yeah, I think because...
Rock put Bray Wyatt over big.
No. He made him look weak. That's what kills me because, like, they make up the Wyatt family. Like, they're huge. They're unstoppable and stuff. He beat a guy in 6 seconds. I know it's The Rock, but you can't build this group up, or this guy is amazing. He's an eater of worlds, all this stuff. And then he just looks like a sissy in front of all these people because it's The Rock.
It was his crony that got him beat.
Yeah, but then he got destroyed by The Rock and Cena. Like, come on, don't do that. Bray Wyatt's better than
that. I agree.
That.
He's been beaten by Cena, Undertaker, and then now this at WrestleMania. He hasn't had the best WrestleMania run. This is what I would say, though, about that. This is my conspiracy theory. Prior to The Rock beating Eric Rowan in 6 seconds, do you know what the shortest WrestleMania match of all time was?
Seven, right? With Daniel Bryan and
The Bro Kick. So that would be in 28. I thought it was Ultimate Warrior Triple H from way back in the day. He went right in the ring and beat him in a second.
It has to be at least 3 seconds.
Well, yes.
So I don't know how
that was my conspiracy. You might be right though on the Brogue.
I think it might have been the Brogue kick to Daniel Bryan,
which then that conspiracy would hold true as a Triple H conspiracy, as many things in my mind are about wrestling. But I thought the Shane McMahon jump talks about live. What was that like?
Oh, it was awesome. I actually got a picture where he's in mid-flight, so it was really crazy. But you knew Undertaker wasn't going to get landed on. But I give Shane all credit for doing that because there's not a lot of people that would do it. I might would have done it.
You think you would have done it?
I'm not, maybe not on a table like that. Maybe on some kind of cushion.
And not in the middle of your career.
No. Definitely not in my career.
No, he doesn't. I mean, the thing about it is Shane McMahon doesn't need to do anything.
No.
I think that's just what gets him going.
I think he had to this year because everybody was hurt. You got to have something. You got to have some kind of moment because everybody's hurt right now.
Hey, son, come back and jump 25 feet off of a cage through a table.
I'm going to create my best way to bridge wrestling and football.
All right, do it. Let's
see. Yeah. Hugh Jackson hired as the head football coach. Tyler Eifert has a career year last year, almost leads the NFL in touchdowns. Is that intriguing to you, which might mean that you're going to get in the end zone an awful lot again, and the bridge to wrestling is – that you might break out the HBK pose after one of these touchdowns.
Yeah, come on.
We needed it
all year.
I know. Trust me. I did too. It's very intriguing, and I'm looking forward to it. The offense is going to be – it's going to showcase a lot of guys. It's not going to be just one player, and that's going to make it tough on the defense because you can't focus on one guy. You got to worry about multiple guys, and that just gives everybody the opportunity. But I did say I'm going to do it, and it will happen at some point.
Good.
I can't forewarn you when it's going to happen. It's going to happen, though.
I'll be there, though.
Yeah.
I'll be fired up for it. I'll be ready for it. I might hit it in the background.
He might hit it in the background and rip his pants.
Rip my pants.
In
the split the scene. Yes. Absolutely.
Make sure you're in the picture, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great, well done, Matt Wilhelm. Bravo. Bravo. So let me ask you. So obviously you did, you know, the AFWB trip. You went to WrestleMania. You did some traveling, Australia, New Zealand. But when you come into a season, this is the first time in your career where you've come into the season as the guy. Does that change how you approach the offseason in any way?
I don't think it does. I think you got to treat it the same all the time. You can't be like, oh, now I'm the guy, we're good. No, you got to still be hungry. You still got to be ready to go and fight like somebody's coming to take your job because people are. And you got to continue showing what you can do because you got to show you still deserve to be in this league. And it doesn't matter if you're the guy or not because you can easily be passed up.
Yeah. What have you thought so far about your initial things, getting to look at the playbook, talking to Hugh, knowing as he talked about the success of Eifert, and then getting to meet your new tight ends coach? What's that been like so far?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a great year for us, and we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be very tough on defenses, figuring out who's going to get the ball, where the ball is going, and how to control everybody.
Well, last question for me before we let you go, and I know you're a busy man, is you were obviously re-signed and brought back under contract in the old regime. That has all kind of changed. It's got to be very exciting for you and your meeting with Sashi Brown and your meeting with Hugh Jackson and understanding this offense and the feature of the number of players and the success you're going to have, that it almost makes your signing the contract prior to the old regime essentially being outed, like you look very smart now linking your next 3 years with Hugh Jackson now being the head coach here in Cleveland.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. I said when I signed my deal that I wanted to be here when we turn this thing around, and I still think we're going to do that, and I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to what we're going to do, and it's just going to be a lot of fun.
Take us inside that meeting room when you guys first came back, because you've seen a lot of head coaches from your time in Carolina and then certainly in your time here with the Cleveland Browns. What was the tenor of Hugh Jackson's message, and how did it strike you?
Very energetic, and he wants to change things now. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to do it in a year or 2 years. He wants to do it now, and he's going to do everything he can to do it, and that's what's excited about everybody. I think everybody's excited about it.
Yeah, I think that, and Joel Bitonio talked to us yesterday and said, this guy really can command a room.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the gift of gab.
He definitely does.
He could be a wrestling manager. When you transition to your next career, maybe you could be managed by Hugh Jackson.
I don't know about that one.
He could be your advocate.
Yeah, I'll let the professionals stick to the wrestling.
All right, last wrestling question. From all the WrestleManias you've been to, so 26 through now, give me your top two matches or moments.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, by far is number one.
And you missed 25, which I saw D'Angelo at 25. D'Angelo
yes,
was
that
there.
Was his first.
Okay.
He started, and that's when me and him, I was like, you went without me. I don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's not cool.
And then the second one would probably be the CM Punk Undertaker match was pretty good.
Okay. In New York.
Yeah. I thought CM Punk, just the way he handles the ring and the whole leading up to it, I think that built into it too, because
yeah.
the whole factor of how he was just disrespecting Undertaker's former manager Paul Bearer was crazy, and just leading up to the match, I thought it was a great match as well.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'd say one of my favorite moments, I don't know if it was my favorite match, but my favorite moment was when Daniel Bryan won in New Orleans. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think everybody knew it was going to happen, so I didn't. It wasn't to me just because you knew that was going to happen.
Fair.
They had to do it.
All right, had to do it. All right, give us one goal for you this season other than touchdown with the HBK post.
Just help our team win as many games as we can, because it's not about one person. It's about getting wins, and that's what it's all about.
All right, big play, Garrett. We look forward to talking with you again as this season progresses, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, AFWBcamp.com.
Correct.
Go there. Get involved. Help out. It's a great cause. Have a lot of fun. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.